If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Luke 11:9. And that's our main text. And thank you to Lane last week who stepped in for me and helped me out with that. Thank you very much. And it is, I'm at my second place. Okay. Luke 11 and verse 9. And it says, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you." Let's keep going. "For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened." I love this passage of scripture. We've been talking about never giving up in our tithes and offerings. And I think this is important for us to remember that in never giving up, the first step is you have to ask. Amen? When God created the world, he spoke. Right? And so the first step in creating something different in your finances is to speak. If you don't ever ask for anything, are you going to receive? Well, you have a really good Heavenly Father, so sometimes he just blesses you. Amen? But there is life or laws of nature that are in place for a reason. Amen? And this is what, if you look in your Bibles, these words are in red. So who is speaking them? Jesus. He's God's son. He ought to know, right? He ought to know how this works. And he's telling us, if you ask, you will receive. And Lane was sharing last week his testimony about how that he had been listening to a series on promotion. And in the series, he was thinking to himself, "I work for a really small company. How am I going to get promotion? But Lord, I'm asking for promotion." And a few days later, his boss calls and gives him a $2 an hour raise. That's a big thing for a 19-year-old, right? That's substantial, right? Well, it's substantial for anybody, right? But you don't get unless you ask, right? And the Bible tells us that if we pray, he can show us how to ask so that we ask with the right reasons. Amen? I don't have to worry about Redeemed Church, because I know when you ask for things, it's so that you can be blessed to be a what? A blessing. You guys got this down. Amen? So we need to make sure we open our mouths and we ask, right? I was even thinking about this week, and the Lord was challenging me in some things that I would like to see change in. We're doing great financially, but there are some things that I would like to do for some other people, and that means I've got to enlarge my bank account. Amen? And so God knows our hearts, and a lot of times he places those desires there. Amen? So we're going to go to the next part of this verse, and it says, "Seek and you will find." Seek and you will find. Go ahead and flip your Bibles over to Luke 15. This is the passage of scripture that came to me when I was thinking about this. Luke 15. In verse 8, and it says, he's talking about lost things, Jesus is, and he's going on to his second parable. First was the lost sheep, and now he's talking about the lost coin. And it says, "Or what woman," I notice he doesn't say a man here. He says a woman. The Lord knows us, girls. "Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it. And the girl said, "Amen." "And when she has found it, she calls her friends." This is such a girl thing. "She calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice for me, for I have found the piece which was lost.'" So he's giving an example of a woman. And like I said, I know he had right thinking in this. Because girls, when we lose something, very rarely do we just let it go. It just nags and nags and nags. And you keep looking and you keep looking and you keep looking and you keep looking until you find it. And what is the first thing you do? "Guess what? I found it," right? Normally, like, not just one phone call or one text. It's like a multitude of texts to all your girlfriends letting them know that thing that was lost is now found, right? Or you're calling them and you're saying, agree with me, right? For that lost thing to be found. Side note, when something is lost, go to the Lord. In Hebrews, it tells us that he is the finder of lost things. If he is the finder of lost things, it doesn't matter what that lost thing is, you ask him. Amen? I can't even begin to tell you all the stories in my lifetime of something lost that was found. And I know that I looked in that place at least 10 other times. So I know it was a supernatural assignment from an angel to grab that thing and put it where I'd find it because it was beyond my ability to find it in the natural. Somebody say amen. So when you seek for something, you need to seek for it as a woman who's lost something. Amen? Again, not my words. This is Jesus speaking, right? We need to search for that thing, and we need to not let go. So what are we searching for when it talks about our finances? Flip back over just a couple to Matthew 6. This is a very famous scripture. Matthew 6:33, and you should underline this if it's not already underlined in your Bible. And it says this, but seek first. Are we seeking the second? Third? Is this an afterthought? No, we're seeking this first. So when you're seeking in your finance for a solution, you are not just random seeking. Seek first what? What does it say? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is what you were seeking after as a woman who has lost something. You are seeking into the word of God. What does the word say about my finances? You're not just random going through your house. Oh, Lord, what can I do? Let me see. I can tell you that does not work. Random seeking does not work in your finances. You can seek all you want in the world's way of doing things. You can take out your finances and your budget, and you can seek as much as you want. But if you don't seek this first and ask him for the answer here first, you are not going to find the answer in your finances. Because it says, seek here first. And how do you seek? As a woman who has lost something. Amen? And it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all, somebody say all. We know this is a very little tiny word, but what does it mean? All. It means all. All. It's a huge meaning of a tiny word. All these things, say all these things, shall be added. Say shall be added. Now point to yourself. To me. To me. If I seek first the kingdom of God as a woman who has lost something, and I seek in here and I dig and I dig and I dig until I find the promise that he has for me, the lost silver coin, the lost treasure, what does it tell us in Proverbs? To seek wisdom above all else. She is a riches that you cannot even fathom. That's the word of God to us. We're seeking this, right? And what does it say? All these things will be added. You will find what you are looking for. Because God's way of doing things is so different than ours. I can remember, I was thinking about this past week, and most of you know I stayed home and to be a mom and with four kids, and so our income was what most people would call limited. And so I remember there was a season where I just literally dreaded having to go to my checkbook. It's like, oh, Lord, what is it going to be this week? How am I going to figure this all out? And one day the Lord finally just stopped me and said, why do you do that? I'm like, well, I'm doing my due diligence. I'm being a good steward. And he's like, but why do you do it this way? What do you mean? What way am I doing it? He's like, you're doing this on your own. You haven't asked me. You haven't stood on my promises. You haven't declared those promises over your budget. You do it afterwards, You do it afterwards, right? Oh my goodness, Lord Jesus, right? He said, how about do it first? Seek ye first. And we watch something amazing transform in our finances. It was like the month ran out before the money did. Hallelujah. That's a thank you, Jesus. And sometimes it wasn't anything that I did in the natural. It was a supernatural thing. There were times I would look at the budget and look at the... Is this right? Because it didn't make sense. That's why you have to seek first, because it may not make sense in the natural. And if you're doing it as an afterthought or a help me Jesus at the end, you're missing out on what God is doing. And as a mom, I know now as my kids are getting older and they're doing their finances, it's like, oh, you just want to help them get there, right? I'm sure the Lord feels like that with us sometimes. Oh, kids, what are we doing? What are we doing? Ask me. I'm right here. I can show you. I can help you make a plan. Oh, don't, oh, again this month? It must just ache his heart when we don't go to him first. So the answer is, ask and you will receive. And seek like a woman who has lost something, the word of God and the wisdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you, and you will find the answer you need for your finances. Somebody say amen. Isn't he so good? The girls and I were talking about this at our Bible study. God is such an awesome father. He doesn't just say, okay, I want you to do this over here. Okay, go ahead, go do that. That's the gods in the world, right? They give people an assignment, and it's up to you to figure it all out. Your heavenly Father doesn't do that. First of all, he sent you the Holy Spirit. Who's inside you? Who helps you to understand all things? So it's almost like he says, I'd like you to do this. And then he gives you the plan. He gives you the people to come around you to help you to do that plan. He gives you wisdom for people who know things more than you do to come into your life and to guide you and direct you into the things you need to know. He supplies all the things for the building. You're not left to find them on your own. It's a supernatural. He provides every single step of the way. He is a good father, and that same principle is true with your finances today. You are not on a limited budget. No, as a tither and a giver, you have limitless. Heavens open up and pour out a blessing you cannot contain. But if you don't know that truth, you're going to be stuck feeling like you're limited. There are no limits with God. I'll say it again. There are no limits with God. You just have to seek first his word. Amen? Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, we just thank you so much for this amazing word that you've been helping us, Father, to focus on, to never, ever, ever give up. We're going to keep trusting. We're going to keep believing. We're going to keep pressing. We're going to keep asking, seeking, Father, because we know that we know that we know you are faithful to your word. Your word is yes and amen. It's done. It's finished. And so, Father, I thank you for the wisdom and the patience, Father. Sometimes it's a patience thing on our part for the timing that you have. Father, I praise you and I thank you for giving us your patience today. Father, to stick in there and to not give up on the dreams and the things that you have given us in our lives. We give you praise today for every seed that is sown, Father. I thank you for your anointing and your blessing upon each person as they give today. We call in from the north, south, east, and the west a hundredfold harvest. Angels, go forth and collect everything that is supposed to be rightfully ours. And Father, as we pray a lot of the time, if there is something holding back that which that should be ours, Father, we thank you that angels are going forth and loosing that thing in Jesus' name, Father. Whether it's inheritances, whether it's things that were in court, Father, that have been held up in court, Father, maybe it's things we didn't even know that we were supposed to get, but the enemy has held them back. Even those, Father, I just thank you. Those finances are released today as we tithe, Father. We thank you. You are rebuking that devourer on our behalf, and we praise you, Father, for an anointing upon this offering today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Well, praise the Lord. I think Shelly prayed a very sufficient prayer over that giving today. So everybody just stretch your hands out toward the offering and just say, blessed. Yes. It's blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Angels have their orders from headquarters. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I want to invite Max and Dion. Would you guys come up to the front this morning? Give them a big hand. Yes. And I'm just going to give you guys the power of the mic. And, you know, we just love you guys as friends, first of all, and brothers and sisters in Christ. But you have an amazing ministry to the homeless community and just helping people that have a lot. Has anyone noticed anybody out there that just needs help, right? And these people really are ministers to people like that, amen? And our job is to partner with them and help them, amen? And I just want you guys to share from your heart, whatever God puts in your heart to share about what you've been doing. And thanks for being here.
Thanks for inviting us.
Absolutely. Yeah. Welcome.
My wife and I, we met, it was a year or so ago when we were here. I don't know if some of you were here then, but we're still working on the bus, but we still can't stop ourselves from just, I'm going to cry. I can't go anywhere. And it's from the Holy Spirit within us that put the passion for these people that are lost, that are forgotten most of the time. They feel forgotten. We can't go anywhere without us just grabbing. We went to the movies last night, and we're going to go get candy at the dollar store before we went, so we didn't spend a whole bunch of money. And we went inside, and there happened to be this one gentleman there, and he said, do you have any money on you? And I'm like, bro. I was like, I wish I had cash on me. We went inside, and we were paying with the card, and Dion goes, hey, I've got a couple bucks. I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. Because that means I get to talk to him for a purpose. Because they want money, but it gives us the opportunity just to look in their eyes. Doesn't matter where we're at. We haven't even built the shower bus yet, but we can't stop. God always puts them right there in our path. And I just went up to him, and I was asking Dion, I can't remember his name. And she goes, it was a unique name. And I'm like, Lord, help us remember. But I think it was Jeremiah or something like that. And he was, and I said, bro, do you remember me? He goes, yeah, 2 seconds ago. You told me you didn't have money. I said, I do. And I gave him a couple bucks I had. He was so excited. And I asked him his name. He told me, and he said, I probably shouldn't tell you because I don't think people like me. And I said, do you know that Jesus loves you? And he goes,
hallelujah.
I think Jesus loves you too. And I just got to pray with him and hold his hand for a minute. And it was just, I'm like, Lord, I don't know who gets to bless more, them or me, because I get so excited to tell somebody that's lost hope that all they needed to know, they gave up hope. Their addictions have swallowed them up. Their circumstances have weighed them down, but no one told them, guess what? In the midst of where you're at, Jesus loves you, man. And he's not waiting for you to clean it up. He's not waiting for you to change. He just wants to love you. And to have that opportunity, even before the showers, it just brings tears to my eyes because you can see the light in their eyes are like hope. And you just want to gather them up, take them all home, but we can't. So we decide that we're just going to keep going out to the same place to see the same people. And maybe their circumstances don't change, but you can see a trust begin to build. And that's what our heart is, to continue to build a hope and a trust and share Jesus. And my wife's so diligent at doing the behind-the-scenes stuff because she loves to watch me share Jesus, and she loves to do it. And she does at times when we've been out there. She's had ladies that have had the same circumstances as hers, and they gravitate towards her, and she does. They don't know why, and all of a sudden, her heart. And it's so funny, because I told my wife, I said, we didn't go to a 101 class to say, how can we share hope of Jesus with somebody? It's inside, and you can't help but do it. No one has to teach you. In fact, sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't. I'm not going to lie. There's times I'm like, I got to go, Lord. I don't have time for it. And the Lord says, okay. I'm like, what do you mean, okay? And that same person that he wanted me to meet or talk to comes around the next corner, and I'm like, okay, so you're just saying, just let me do it, son. And my wife's had that those experiences too, and she walked away and she goes, oh my gosh, that was so exciting to share and connect with somebody in the trust that you build with them. And the love of God that just pours out, and they know something's different. They know you're giving them a real hope. Yes. So the things that you guys are providing that are for a shower and for people helps us connect with them.
Hallelujah.
Dion was saying the little pack, why am I losing? Hygiene packs have been such, they come asking for them.
Wow.
And they've relied on them and trust them, and they'll take two and they'll go back to a place where they're at to give another one out. And we start getting little stickers that we put on them that just say soul showers. And
beautiful.
Get to, so just thank you that Amen. You guys provide these things for us to take out. The tools that we get to use to build trust and have an opportunity to share hope when they didn't feel it.
Praise God.
So thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you want to share anything, Dion? What about the thing about the, is the thing that we were talking about, is that okay to share?
Grant.
Yeah, yes. That's powerful. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, it costs money, you know, to pay somebody to write grants. And there's a skill to it. And, so I've taken the time to fill out grant. I've done like a dozen. We did get one for like $1,000, you know. So I just keep doing them, and I keep
Amen.
Getting a little bit better and praying for the words, because it's a, you know, word thing sometimes.
Sure.
With this. But we did just get a grant through WSDA. Anyways, it's a state grant, and it is focused on food security. But the Lord gave me the words to play up the shower bus as a tool
Sure.
to get healthy snacks and meals, even if they're sack lunches. And it goes along with the shower, so we're going to have a shower in the bus, but we also have discussed having a little resource center in the top half of the bus. So they can come in and sit down, and we can work with them on other things. And we still have lots of hopes for a shower trailer, but
wow.
We got approved for a $20,000 grant.
Wow.
Like, oh my gosh.
Praise God.
I still can't.
Yes.
And
yes.
So that's our mission right now, is just to focus on how to use this. So that's a lot of prayer too, because
Hallelujah.
I need guidance there. And
Amen.
But that's the Lord. The Lord is just like you were saying, you know, it's asking and it's trusting and it's knowing that He's going to provide.
Yes.
And He does. And it's a beautiful thing.
Praise God. Praise
yes,
God.
Thank you.
That is so great. Well, stretch your hands out to them in a moment. I want to read a scripture over you guys. Out of Matthew 25. And it says this: all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. And the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer to Him, saying, Lord, when were you hungry, and we fed you, or thirsty, and we gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what Max and Dion, I mean, the church, obviously, this is not just your guys' job. This is something the church does, right? But there are certain people that are just wired and anointed as ministers to physically go. I had a lady on Friday. I was doing my day job, my pest control route, and she was naked. I mean, not sort of naked,
yeah.
On the side of the road, out of her mind, folding things. And I said, I'm going to have to report this. She's in public. And they got the 911 person on the phone. And they said, well, you know, sir, it's not illegal in Portland for people to be walking around naked. Can you imagine some of the leadership we have in our, I mean, it's not helping anybody to lower standards, right? And she said, but if you think she's having a mental crisis, then we can send somebody out. And I was like, you know what? I think she's having a mental crisis. Right?
Yeah.
And she put on sort of a coat, but it was still open. And she came right up to my window, and she's knocking on my window. And I'm like, look straight ahead, stay on the phone, pray in tongues. You know what I'm saying? It takes an anointing to break that power off of people and to love the people. But these are the people. Jesus said, that's me. Mm-hmm. Right? And so embracing that and just having the Lord help us with wisdom on how to go about it. You guys are like surgeons. The Lord gives you the tools and the handiwork and the knowledge and an anointing to go out there and touch the people. It's a powerful thing. And as churches, we want to partner with you and obviously, you know, supply resources and tools and the prayer support and all that, which is what we're gonna do right now, because how many know prayer is key?
Amen.
Right? So we just want to anoint you guys and pray over you, but we just celebrate what you guys are doing. And I think the soul showers thing is more than a bus, and it's you're actually, the blood of Jesus is just showering down, and the love of God and the light of God just flows through you guys. You can hear it in your voices, and it's so marvelous. Amen. So stretch your hands out toward them. Just want to anoint you. And Shelly, do you want to lead us?
Sure.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Lord, we just thank you so much for Max and Dion and the heart that you have given them, Father. We just thank you, Lord, today that you know the plans and the purposes that you have for them, and they are good plans with a hope and a future. And Father, I just pray that just as they are bringing hope to others, you would bring hope to them. Father, they would not lack in any way the hope, the looking forward, Father. Let them be little children as looking forward to Christmas. But I thank you, Father, that's going to be looking forward to what you're going to do through soul showers. Father, I pray, Lord, that their hearts would stay open, Father, to receiving what you have for them. Father, I thank you, Lord, for pouring into them more than enough, Father, that it's just when they give, it's off the top. It's out of the overflow, Father, that they're not going to run weary, that they're not going to grow tired. But Father, I thank you that you're continually supplying everything that they need, Father, whether it's wisdom for grants or ways to word things, as Dion was saying, or just the energy to do the times of feeding the hungry that they do, or the times where they call people to the churches and be able to clothe them and provide for them. Lord, I just thank you that you're going to give them the energy that they need to run fully the race you have set before them. And God, we just call in from the north, south, east, and the west. Father, I'm reminded of when you were ready to build your temple, Father, that you provided the people that had the wisdom to be able to build that temple, God, even down to those who knew how to work with fine jewels, God. I thank you, Lord, you are providing the people that know how to build this bus, that know how to build the trailer, God. You are going to provide those people at the right time in Jesus' name. We call them in now, Father. We call them in Jesus' name. Lord, they're going to get phone calls from people that are going to say, I don't even know you, but I heard you needed somebody to do this, and I know how to do this. And Father, I thank you the price tag is going to be paid for by you. It's not going to be a debt for them to carry, Father. You're going to provide for that as well. And we thank you, Lord, for continuing to bless them, Father, with wisdom for how to serve the people you've called them to serve. We thank you, Lord, that you're giving them those that will come around them and partner with them, Lord, whether going out or just providing the finances or the prayer ministry. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for gathering those people in as well in Jesus' name, that they will not lack one thing. But Father, I thank you for the suddenly turned around in the bus. Jesus. It's been long enough, Father. We thank you that today is the day of breakthrough in Jesus' name. And we just call that bus done and completed and a tool used for the kingdom of God. And Lord, we just praise you, Father, for favor with people they never imagined favor companies, God, that are going to donate things, ways of working with the people that they're working with, Father, even for counseling, that there will be counselors that can come out and and that you're just going to take care of every single step of the way. And God, we just pray for every item that is given to Soul Showers, Father. We just thank you that in Jesus' name it is covered and anointed from the clothing to the Band-Aids to the hygiene things. When they come in contact with that, they're going to be reminded of the love of God. Yes. That God loved them enough to send other people to purchase those things, to remind them that they are worthy, that they are worth something, and that your love would just pour over them, Father. That they're not going to even know why they're emotional. They're going to come back to Max and Dion and say, why? What happened to me? And that they're going to be able to share, this is the love of God in a practical way. And Father, I just thank you for souls that are changed forever in Jesus' name, that are going to be healed and transformed, Father, that are going to be set free and set back into society as healthy members, Father, that they're going to be whole in Jesus' name. And we just thank you, Father, for covering them. Lord, no weapon formed against this couple or their family is going to prosper. We thank you their ministry is covered in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for covering the times that they get together with people, that when they walk up to them, whatever was on them leaves them when they come into the presence of God. And I just thank you, Lord, they are protected and kept safe, and that you're just blessing them, Father, exceedingly and abundantly above. I pray, Lord, as that you would take care of their finances, that there would not be any reason for them to have to worry about what they are dealing with, God. They'll be so full that they will just have to think about what the ministry you've called them to, God, because things will be provided for. And we praise you in advance for all of these miracles, and we rejoice in advance, Father, for a completed shower van in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Well, let's pray over this message and get right into it. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're continuing on a message I started last week. We're going along with some notes called How to Be Strong in the End Times. Pastor George and Terry Pearson's Eagle Mountain International Church, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And so I just really felt like the Lord said, pack it in tight. I want you to stick real close to what this message is about right now and just, you know, go after it. Amen? Because if you haven't noticed, we are in the last of the last days, right? And if you didn't hear last week's message, we'll probably come back and review more of that, you know, in days and weeks to come. But basically Matthew 24, Jesus talks about what the last days looks like. And it sounds a lot like today, what he's talking about. Amen? And Pastor Terry used the word escalation. Things are escalating, right? Evil things. Earthquakes, disease, war, perversions, the darkness seems like it's just increasing and layer upon layer upon layer. And Jesus said these things will happen in the end times. Somebody say escalate. And when she said that, the vision of escalators came to my mind, right? And if you've ever been to the mall and you have the ones that kind of crisscross and there's people going up and there's people going down. Right? And that's exactly what's happening on planet Earth. And we do coexist. Have you seen the bumper sticker that says coexist? We do coexist for a while, right? We're together on planet Earth, no matter what anyone believes. But how many know the truth is you're either going up or going down. And so while we can see and hear one another, we ought to be shouting with everything that's within us, you can change escalators. And now would be a good time to do it, right? Hallelujah. Because how many know Jesus is going up? The rapture is up. If you read the scripture, he's gonna come in the clouds. And somebody say, we are going up. When he died, he rose again. Hell is down, heaven up. Jesus good, devil bad. God up, devil down. This is not children can understand this, right? And today, I want to, I went through again a couple more of their broadcasts, and I want to look at some specific things if you have it in your notes, because we talked a lot last week about kind of the big picture, globally, what's going on. But there are also things personally that we want to believe God for. Because, you know, it is tough when we realize and we're, you know, watching the world kind of do what the world does. And then in our own lives at times, there can be things that look like the darkness is trying to overtake me, my own household, my family, my business, my health, whatever. Amen? And so these are some things, and specifically we're talking about being strong in the end times, specifically having a strong spirit in the end times. And our foundation, we're going to look at two of them specifically today, but from their notes, Pastor George and Terry again, it says, this verse from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, if you want to open your Bible somewhere, we're actually going to go to Psalm 112 eventually. But a lot of this is right here in your notes. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, and it says, be strong in the Lord. Somebody say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And one thing that jumps out to me there, because we do have a decision to make, don't we? It's a choice. And yet we're not doing this in our own strength. So I choose to put myself in Christ. Because it's really, how many know it's really about his strength? It's not about, hey, toughen up, right? I saw a lot of football again yesterday, and one particular coach was not happy because they're ranked number one, and they were playing a team ranked nothing. And it was 13-12, and he was losing his mind on the sideline, trying to get it across. You are Georgia. I couldn't see exactly what he's saying, but he was losing his mind on the sideline. Toughen up. And that's not what our Heavenly Father is telling us today. Toughen up, will you? Toughen up. No. He's saying, get in Christ. Choose to get into me. Because I'm your only hope, right? So when we say, be strong in the Lord, he's not saying, toughen up, buttercup. No, he's saying, get in Christ and stay in Christ, right? So be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Somebody say, his might. I mean, what can pull you down if you're in his might? Well, sickness might. Disease might, depression might, sorrow might, sin might. No. Not if you're strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Right? Amen. So Ephesians 6 verse 10 says this, and this is the Amplified Classic. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered. Here it is. Somebody say, here it is. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. Isn't this what separates Christianity from all other religions? All other religions will tell you, we'll help you fix yourself. If you spin enough beads, if you climb enough stairs, if you pass out enough flyers, if you get enough good karma. That's the devil, man. No, we are, somebody say, I am empowered through my union with him. Amen. So and it says, draw your strength from him. That strength which his boundless might provides. And strong, they continued in their notes from the broadcast. Strong means things like able to withstand great force or pressure. Have you ever been through anything, even as a Christian, that was a great force or great pressure against you and it took all you could muster to simply stand? Not affected by hardship. We're talking about the word strong. Able to exert great force not easily disturbed or upset or affected, and it also means unstoppable. And then he said, the ultimate goal of developing a strong spirit is so we can be strong enough to strengthen others. Able to withstand great force or pressure, not affected by hardship. Able to exert great force, not easily disturbed, upset, or affected, and unstoppable. It makes me think of the scripture we looked at last week where Jesus is teaching us that in the last days, lawlessness will abound. And he says, because lawlessness will abound, he says, the love of many will grow cold. Do you know of any Christians that this seem like they've quit? Like, what's the use? Eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we die. Right? Well, according to this verse, we can't use that as an excuse. And not just global lawlessness, but what about, it seems like the lawless one has intruded in my own life. I've been speaking the word, I've been in church, I've been praying, but I still have this health issue. So what's the use? I've been in the word, I've been in church, I've been doing this and doing that, but my kids still aren't saved. What's the use? I've been in the word, I've been in church, but I'm still struggling financially. So what's the use? We have to be on guard against that type of attitude. Right? Because why? Because we are spirit-led. And we're not just talking about the Holy Spirit, we're talking about our own spirit. We're talking about developing a strong spirit. And how do we do that? By being in union with Him. Right? Well, Pastor Steve, Jesus isn't sick. Jesus isn't poor. Jesus doesn't have all this depression. Exactly. Exactly. Right? So somebody say, run to Him every day with every issue. Amen. And that's one of the ways we develop a strong spirit. It's the Mary and Martha story. Right? You remember that story? Martha's running around trying to fix all the problems and just overwhelmed with everything. And Mary did what? She sat down at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, Martha, Martha, many things are on your mind. I'm paraphrasing, right? But Mary has chosen the right thing. So the devil has this, Pastor George calls it the pile-up technique, where he just adds one thing after another thing, after another thing, after another thing. And Jesus says it's only one thing that you need. Somebody say, it's Him. It's Him. Come to Him. Bring Him everything. He told me when I was in college many years ago. I was 20. Many years ago. And He told me, don't hide your pain from me. Because, you know, as a faith person, you're thinking confession, believe, praise, worship, all that is wonderful things. But He wants you to pour your heart out to Him. Isn't that how you clean an infection out? You have to open it up. Right? But don't tell Oprah about it or Dr. Phil. Or your spouse, or there's things you should be in oneness about. Don't get me wrong. If you're talking about getting together in agreement, but when you come to Jesus, you're not just having a gripe session with all your friends and going online. And I've had dear friends I know that I want to tell them, dude, get off of Facebook, man, because all you're doing is sharing your laundry. Maybe you're thinking you're encouraging somebody else, but hey. Right? No. Somebody say, bring it to Him and lay it at His feet. Get free. Somebody say, get free of it, man. Yeah. Remember the beggar when, who's it, Peter and John are coming? And they would give beggars a special garment that basically was a license to beg. And the one beggar, it says, when Peter and John were coming, I think this is, am I right about the story where he threw aside the garment? Was that Peter and John? Or was it Jesus? Well, same thing, right? It's the same spirit. But it says he threw aside his garment, right? He didn't hold that garment and say, oh, no, no, I just wanted some sympathy, Jesus. I just want some weed money. I've seen signs like that out there, right? I just want weed money. Well, no, you what you really want is to get free of that, amen? And not use our issues as the garment. Because if I get free of my issue, no one will feel sorry for me anymore. If I get free of my issue, I'll lose my government assistance. Somebody say, get free. Amen. And then they go on, a strong spirit will get us through anything. It doesn't say a strong spirit will, you know, you'll just avoid everything. No, it says a strong spirit will get you through anything. Amen? Proverbs 18:14, Amplified Classic. A strong spirit of a man, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak or broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Here's some things that a strong spirit will do for us. It will cause us to overcome physical attacks, financial problems, relational, marital difficulties, job, career, ministerial setbacks, emotional challenges, sickness, fear, discouragement, bad news, adversity. A strong spirit will get us through anything. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 112. I think I have mine marked. Yeah, I want to read to you the whole chapter, then we'll look at a few specific verses. Psalm 112, 10 verses. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house. And his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. Somebody say, I'm unshakable in him, right? He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad and given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Sounds like escalators, doesn't it? Right? Somebody say, I'm on the rise. I'm on my way up. But Psalm 112 is a picture of a strong, established heart. Verse 1 says, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. And that's what we're praying for, even in regards to these elections during this time of fasting and prayer. Is leaders who have this thing called fear of God. Judges, for example, who understand they will answer to a much, 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 much higher judge. Hallelujah. Teachers, people in show business people, technology, education, right? Pastors, ministers who will tell the truth, who won't bend to the pressure. Hallelujah. Again, to me, with all that stuff, it comes back to children. The devil is killing children, mutilating children, aborting children, lying to children. It is absolutely abhorring. And all this kind of stuff staying strong in our spirit, it will help us to not accept things that are as normal that the Bible calls sin. Because if you haven't noticed, there's a real tendency, even in the church, to just embrace things the Bible calls deadly as, oh, it's okay. I heard a news broadcast the other day that I think it's like 10% of Christian schools are now embracing Planned Parenthood. Because, you know why? Government money. Time to shape up. Now that's switching escalators too. And by the way, I think they're still charging people to go to school there probably. A lot of money. Amen. Somebody say shape up. Right? Strong in spirit. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord. What does that mean to fear the Lord? Well, my dad, I love my dad. He's amazing. Taught me an amazing work ethic. Loved us, raised us right, all that kind of thing. And just a fun loving guy, right? But sometimes we would wrestle. And he would just sit on us. He'd be like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Uncle, right? We have a very, very loving Heavenly Father. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He loves us. But He's also judge. Mercy and justice. Amen. So we understand He is Abba Father, but I also need to make sure that I'm in good with Him. Not acting like evil is good and good is evil. And especially, I can't emphasize this enough, especially when it comes to children. Read the Bible. There's scriptures in there that talk about people who treat children poorly. People who treat children and teach them that right is wrong and wrong is right, evil is good and good is evil. Teaching children. Who ever would have thought that would even happen in this nation? But there's scriptures in there. One I can think of specifically has to do with the ocean, a millstone, and the neck of the person that is lying, hurting, harming children. Better for them to experience that than what's coming up. Because it is coming. Right? And so as believers, we can't just yield to trash out there to not offend somebody or be more visitor friendly. I've had more than one person, more than one, that's a thumb, right? Is the thumb a finger? I think it is. More than one person, not a lot, but more than one, tell me, I don't come to your church because I love your family, I love the worship, I just don't like what you're preaching. One recently said, you're too political. Okay, that's why there's options out there, right? But when it comes to life and death, the church is going to be political. We're going to be active, reminding people to vote. And the one most recently I heard from was someone who says, I don't vote anyway. Right? My pastor, Larry Huck, back in the day would say, you choose who you lose. Right? I'm not going to stop. Glory to His name forevermore. Neither should you. Amen. Verses 6 through 8, surely He will never be shaken, right? The one who fears the Lord and delights in His commandments. Surely He will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. I mean, fear, we have to start looking at fear like it's a sin. If I'm feeling fear, bring it to God. Turn off the fear and turn on the word. Last night, I couldn't sleep for a while, so probably because I had Dr. Pepper with dinner. And I'm just awake, you know. And I got up and I sent a prayer text to someone we're praying for. And I turned on Kenneth E. Hagin on my phone and just laid on the couch and had him listen to him talking. And I woke up just for a second when he was saying, if you don't deal with your sin, basically he was saying, if you don't judge yourself, and you know you're, he said, if you know you're doing something wrong, if you know that you know that you know you're sinning and you refuse to judge yourself, then he is going to judge you. Then I went back to sleep. But this is true, right? Somebody say we judge ourselves. Am I in the Word? Am I in Christ? Am I in this decision, in this issue over here? And this, am I fearing God? Am I putting God first? Right? This is an everyday thing. Amen? And then finally, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It's good that we understand this, that we, man is a three-part being. This is something that, all these things are things that Pastor George and Terry emphasized. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Somebody say holy. W-H-O-L-L-Y. If we sanctify ourselves wholly, then we will be H-O-L-Y. Right? Amen, right? Which means separated to God. If I'm separated to him, that means I'm separated from the devil, from his plans. We're talking about, you know, again, the sheep and the goats, where Jesus said he's going to divide the sheep from the goats. And I shared last week that I did a job at a farm, and there was this cute little adorable baby, like, well, not babies, they were bouncing around, but there was a little sheep and a goat. And they were not in the same enclosed area. They were right next to each other, but the goat had horns, and the sheep, they're both cute little things, you know, but they weren't together, they were separate, right? And holiness is separation to God. It means there are certain things we don't do, certain things we don't say, certain places we don't go. Amen? And it's the Holy Ghost. It's a work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. And this is a process of salvation, but it's important to remember that we are a three-part being, right? Man is a three-part being. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, somebody say spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now that should be something that the church is hearing about very often. The reality that Jesus is coming. Amen. There's a rapture of the church that could happen any moment. There's really nothing prophetically that needs to still happen. Somebody say the rapture is what's next. So be on fire for Jesus, right? But when he talks about your spirit, soul, and body, everybody say this, I am a spirit. This is something that Brother Hagin taught us, right? I have a soul. It's mind, will, and emotions, right? And I live in a physical body. Yeah. So when you got saved, your spirit man is the born again. I mean, you are born again. That's why there's going to be people in heaven by the many's. I don't know how many, but by the many's, who will be like, all I did was I said a prayer at a funeral. The rest of my life, I didn't live for God. I said a prayer at the wedding. I said a prayer with the guy on TV, and here I am. Glory to God, right? Because they got saved, their spirit, and the spirit man is where we are born again. Our soul and our body are being saved. There's a process going on. Somebody say, I'm in the process. And that's why our spirit man needs to be getting stronger and stronger. It's like being in, every time we read a chapter in the Word, every time we spend time in prayer, every time we watch a broadcast, every time we obey Him, it's like we're in the gym pumping iron in our spirit. And we're getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And the voice of the flesh gets weaker. And it's, you know, part of this fasting process is the idea of turning down the voice of the flesh so that our spirit could be hearing from God sharper. Amen. And things are changing. Hallelujah forevermore, right? So our body, they taught us here, the body is the earth suit. So nobody who doesn't have a body, as far as human, is allowed in this planet. The body is the earth suit, the tent, the house, the tabernacle, the building. And if you drive, you can drive by any cemetery that you go, and it's a reminder that we are just passing through. We are just passing through this place. But we also know that there's a trumpet that's going to sound, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And that means every grave out there, sometimes I'll talk to cemeteries and I'm driving by them. Hey, believers, rapture reminder. The trumpet's going to, could be in just a few minutes. You're going to come busting out of there. There was one service I did in recent history for a kind of a more distant family member of ours. And we were in the cemetery, and they were kind of, you know, it was a thing where it was an urn, you know, so it wasn't a big plot. But there was a little place there to put the urn in the ground. And the cemetery hadn't really been well taken care of, so there were mole mounds everywhere. Just every, I mean, you'd step in one and, you know. And when I was sharing, I was like, everybody look around at all these mole mounds and let that be a reminder that every one of these graves in this place, when that trumpet goes off, every believer is going to come busting out of there and go right up. And I said, even less, he's coming out. I said it at another funeral recently in an urn there. And I said, she's coming out. She's coming back. People look at you like, what? She's coming back. God knows where every molecule is. I had another family member, and they scattered some of his ashes at a baseball stadium. They scattered some of his ashes in the ocean in Hawaii, and they buried a portion of it here in a local cemetery. How is that possible? Do you understand how big our God is?
Yes.
And that's why sinners who think, well, I'm just going to live crazy and I'll die and go into non-existence, and oh, no, you won't. No, you won't. There's an eternal hell, just like there's an eternal heaven. And there's a second resurrection for them that happens at the end of the thousand-year reign, when all of their bodies will be rejoined to their spirits and there will be an eternal judgment. This is serious business, man. Right? So having a strong spirit means we're aware of some of these things and living accordingly. Praising God and worshiping God and spending time in His Word, right? Amen? The Spirit is the life of the man. Again, the funeral analogy. If you've ever been to a funeral and you do see the deceased there, the building, the temple, the tent, the body of the person. I remember one of my uncles, and he was a minister and had, you know, lived for Jesus during his life, and he actually had a smirk on his face. I don't know, they can't, I mean, I don't know how they can do that in preparation. He actually, it was like, I know something you don't know. And that's exactly what he would do too. Right? What was different? The Spirit had departed. The Spirit had departed. Right? The Spirit is the life of the man or the woman. The life that is in my body, somebody say this, the life that is in my body comes from my spirit. And the life that is in my spirit comes from God. Hallelujah. Praise his name forevermore. So what do we need to do? There are things we need to do for our bodies. How many know it's good that we wear deodorant and shower and look nice and, you know, and educate ourselves, read, write, study mathematics if we have to, or science, or use our brain, you know, all these kind of thing. But we need to really spend a lot more time developing our spirit in the Word of God. And then listen to him, because his spirit will lead us in courses of study and things he wants us to be doing. Hallelujah. And we'll close with Romans 10 here, verse 10. For with the heart, and that would be the spirit, right? With the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So we believe with the heart. All believing is with the heart or spirit of a man. And then that ought to help us in our intercession too, how to pray for people. Lord, help them to see. I've been praying that a lot for our leaders who don't seem to care one iota about righteousness. Like, Lord, if there's even a little bit of a flame in there, fan it, fan it, fan it. Hallelujah, because we don't want any of them to go to hell, right? Amen. We believe with the heart. Everybody say, I believe with my heart. All believing is with the heart. My spirit. Hallelujah. So if we're struggling in the area of faith, does it help us to get head knowledge? Or work harder on the body? That's why people who've had issues with addictions, they focus so much on the body side, getting the body right, getting, I got to whip this thing. Well, no, you need to get your spirit in line. And then your spirit will help rise up and take charge over that situation and lift you up out of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's all stand up on our feet and we'll just close and rejoice. Thank you, Jesus. Just lift your hands and let's pray this prayer out loud. Just say, Father God, I give you my life. I confess Jesus as Lord over my spirit, my soul, and my body. Hallelujah, Father. We remember Jesus. Jesus is the great example. That's why Jesus had to become flesh and blood, so he could lift us all up in every realm, because he is in every realm. He is spirit, he is soul, he is body. And our faith and our trust is in him and in the finished work that he did on our behalf. We rest our case in that today. We praise you, we praise you, and we praise you. And we declare Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody say, Jesus Christ is Lord over my spirit. Jesus Christ is Lord over my soul. And Jesus Christ is Lord over my body. And I receive your victory in all areas. I receive my healing. I receive my breakthrough. I receive my provision. I receive clarity of vision and everything that I need to be successful in this life. in Jesus' mighty name. And Father, we commit to be people that fellowship with you throughout the day. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.